Ephesians 4. For sake of reading again, we'll do some reading. But you can put this on top of your paper, and I'm looking at some highlights that I have in the scripture. Look over to verse 20 real quick. And that first line says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." So put on top of your paper, "Have I learned Christ?" You can put under there, "Am I learning Christ? Am I learning Christ?" We'll do a little reading. The worst thing that happened to mankind is religion. It's not the serpent, it's not the devil. It's not sickness, it's not disease, it's not poverty, it's not any of that. The worst thing that happened to mankind is religion. And traditions. It's the worst thing that happened. I believe that the moment that they ate from the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, I believe that's when that stuff started culminating. You know, there were years that went on from the beginning when they ate from the tree. There were years in between that moment and when they got the law. If you could do study and go read the scriptures, it's years in between that. Years and years before Moses actually got the law. Before they knew thou shalt not kill and all these different things. It's years before they had it. And God was trying to do something for mankind to keep it from destroying itself. Because he knew the principles that he had set from the beginning. And so religion entered in, and we begin to function in man-made function and not in God-made function. We begin to come up with our own ideas and do things the way we thought they were supposed to be done and pick those things up, and it became popular belief. And before you know it, now it's a religion. Now it's a way we walk. It's a way we do things. The quickest way to find out whether what you're doing is right or wrong now is, where's Jesus? And everything you're doing, ask a question. Where's Jesus in this? Right? I'm not talking about your wrongdoing and everything right now. You know wrong already. I'm talking about if you're functioning and you say, "I'm trying to function as a good Christian. I'm trying to function as a good church member. I'm trying to function as a good," you name the fivefold ministry gift. "I'm trying to function as a good minister." Where's Jesus in my function? If I can't find Jesus, there's no life there. If you can't find Jesus in it, there's no truth there. Can't find Jesus, there's no direction. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me." So if we can't find Jesus in our function, then what are we doing? Who are we mimicking? What are we becoming? Have I learned Christ? Am I learning? You read this morning. How many of y'all read this morning? Did you read this morning? What you read? What you looking for? I know some of us, we can read and just read and conquer the scripture that morning. You might pick up a little something out of that, but where's Jesus? Search them scriptures, John 5:39. Search the scriptures. For any of you think you have life. But he said, but they testify of me. But you won't come all the way. You won't come unto me. And Jesus said that. Jesus yelling the whole time, "The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these, shall you do, because I go unto my Father." You can do what I do. Live like I live. Function like I'm the way. There's no other mode for how this life is lived. Jesus is the mold. So who image you made after? Who image have you taken the form of? Where's Jesus? So now in Ephesians 4, I do a little reading. Therefore, I prisoner of the Lord, see, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace. There's one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, and one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he had ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Talking about Jesus there. Verse 11, read. All right, verse 12, for what?
For the praying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, who is that? Jesus. Unto a perfect man. We know maturity. Perfect means maturity. Perfect means whole. Perfect means complete, all right? To a mature, whole, and complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Meaning, until we look like... Until you measure up to that. Oh, we got some growing to do, don't we? Oh, we got some weightlifting to do, don't we? Until we measure up to the stature, I love the way Paul preached. I love the way he delivered it. Paul had a greater revelation of Jesus than anybody. I love it. Now, he had it at a time. It don't mean he can have a greater one than us. You can have a greater revelation if you search. I love the way Paul said it. He didn't say the measure to the stature of Christ. He said the fullness of Christ. He's trying to make a point. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. Read the next part. Whom the whole body filled, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supply, according to the effectual work of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All that can't happen if we don't grow up into him. We can't even be connected or joined if it ain't like Christ. You know why confusion comes in the church? Because people ain't like Jesus. You know why confusion can come in a relationship? Because somebody at that moment ain't acting like Jesus. Somebody at that moment does not have a revelation of the Christ. And so it causes friction or confusion. The body cannot be fitly joined together. It's a friction. It's a confusion. It's out of joint, out of place. Because there ain't no Christ. See, it's more than your smile. Everybody smile big. Come on. It's more than your smile. More than your good morning. How y'all doing today? Y'all know what we doing in church, huh? Every week, you get the same people. You know some people, you gotta kiss them. Good morning. Right? And all different stuff, you know? And it's more than turn around and tell your neighbor you're glad to see him this morning. Praise God for that. You need to tell him you're glad to see him. If you don't like, you ain't glad to see him, lie about it right then. You know what I'm saying? But you need to come, turn around, give him a hug. Give somebody, no, all that's, praise the Lord for all that. We're gonna keep doing that. That's a good thing to do. But it's more than that. It's more than being soft-spoken. I know some soft-spoken people with words that'll kill you. Because there ain't nothing like Jesus in them. Huh? Yes, I know soft-spoken people are send you to hell. Soft-spoken. Soft-spoken, yeah. They ain't about none of that. All that semantics. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus in your function? This I say, therefore, and testify unto the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance. 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 Ignore ignorance, like the ignoring that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling had given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness and greediness. Verse 20. Read it. It so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Jump back to verse 11. We're going to do a little read. We're going to track through this a little bit more. We don't like this, what I'm about to say right now, but the current modern day church is very Pharisaic. Huh? It's still very Pharisaic. We got a lot of stuff that don't look like Jesus. A lot of stuff that we bank on and we stand on and we function on that don't look like him. And we do it over and over and over. And it becomes tradition because you continue to do it. You got like a family tradition. You know, see, tradition is not, it's not that the word tradition is bad. You got a family tradition. We go, you know, every Christmas and we go over to such and such house, right? For Thanksgiving, we do that. Sometimes that's cool. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But it's a problem if it don't look like Jesus. And so it becomes a tradition when you take this thing that somebody came up with that don't look like Jesus, but then I continue to do it. I continue to act like that with people. I continue to condemn. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Where are your accusers? They don't condemn you. I don't condemn you neither. Remember we told them to cast the first stone? They don't condemn you. I don't condemn you neither. We knew who she was, right? Come on, y'all knew the credentials, didn't y'all? Yeah, he said, I don't condemn you neither. What, Jesus? No, Jesus, you had to condemn her. She's the one that need to be condemned. We gotta condemn her. And we don't condemn nobody else. She's gonna get it. I don't condemn you. Let nobody else condemn me either. It's Jesus. Where we get condemnation from? Y'all know we condemn people, right? Are you condemn people in your mind or the blindness of your heart?
That's right.
Yeah. They say because of the blindness of your heart, right?
Right.
You know, you remember me talking about your heart is in the innermost part of your mind, right? Because of the blindness, because your heart is blind. Because there's something, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Cast not imagination for high things, exalt yourself against the knowledge of God. Renew your mind, right? Renew your mind. Romans talking about renewing your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. There's something that got in your mind that keeps you being a condemner. There's something in your mind that won't allow you to be a lover. There's something in your mind that won't allow you to see past that thing, to love, to see that thing that God put in there. You can't see it, but I don't know why you can't see it, because somebody saw it in you. You see, I remember when I was coming up, man, I was a stickler for this, man, because, and I didn't know what I was doing. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Troy earlier, and he was asking me, he said, when you was younger, was you feeling drawn to people to try to help you? And I said, man, it wasn't really that deep. I said, when I was younger, I loved people. I don't know where it came from. I just did. I was always the one to try to make friends with the person that nobody wanted to be a friend with. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking out for the people. I don't want to judge you. If you make a mistake, it's coming up in age, and when you get to a certain age for me, you know, it's time where people start getting sexually active, and then somebody have a baby. Now what you going to do? We're going to push them outside the door. Right? Look it up. We're going to put her to the side because we just embarrassed. She ain't got no husband or nothing. And you know, some people condemn, you know, and they get to condemn stuff like that in church. And I'd be like, why y'all condemning? You was that same kid. You was born like that. You was born, your mom and daddy wasn't married. That's you. How soon do we? Ephesians 2 talk about that. Don't forget, not too long ago, you was lost. Out in the world without a God. There's somewhere in the blindness of our hearts that we can't function as the church that God ordained to function, or the way Jesus set it up. We can't function like that because we have not been renewed in the spirit of our minds. And so we have things that we've set in there, and it's set like stone. It's stone just like the Ten Commandments stone. I mean, just like the tape written upon it, it's just a stone just like that in your heart. Hard-hearted. Some things you won't let get past. Some things you won't see through. Right? Sometimes God can't even speak to you. I know I'm clear about something, that God can't even speak to you about ministering to somebody about something because you got a claw. You got a thorn in your claw about something. Let it go. Where's Jesus? Boy, well, imagine if Jesus held grudges. Jesus could have condemned everybody. You. Hey, you stand up. You condemned. How long you been in ministry school? You about to graduate? You condemned. I condemn you. And we couldn't tell him nothing. If Jesus wanted to come out here and condemn everybody, we couldn't tell him. What we going to tell him? He's Jesus. It's not God. God can condemn anybody. He God. If he wanted to, but then here he is, the one that got a right to do it all. Right? The Holy One, right? And hey, I don't condemn you. Where's Jesus? Find him. Where's Jesus? Come on, this church unusual right here. Where's Jesus? In my function every day. That doesn't mean you can walk in extreme grace and extreme correction. Love don't mean you let stuff go. Love means you correct things. But how are you correcting it? Correct, kill. They got the same starting sound, but it's two different words. Correct, kill. Correct, condemn. It's two different things. But because of the blindness of our hearts, you're not so learned Christ. Did you even learn Christ? In your function, do I know him? Do you know him? You know, we already clown by that, right? No, but do you know him in your function? So we can be very Pharisaic. Right? And I'm saying this a lot right now because it's got to change with us. Amen. The way things change, here's how things change. Things change by you changing. And if you change and I change and we all change across the culture, then the people behind us can change. Amen. And the people that we come in contact with can change. Amen. And the people that God has assigned for us to talk to can change. But we've got to change first. Come on. We've got to be converted first. We've got to be saying, I know you love Jesus, but now let Jesus love through you. Come on, be him for a minute. I was sitting in the church the other day, and I was sitting there, and the Lord told me, he said, I'm sitting in church, and I said this before in this class, but a lot of people when the word of God comes forth, a lot of people don't really hear the deepness of what's really being said. Like a pastor can be preaching, and a lot of people don't hear the deepness of what's being said because they got the wrong glasses on. They don't even see where he at. So I'm sitting in church the other day and I'm looking because I'm not thinking. The perfect example is a lot of times apostle will preach something, and because people are just thinking about themselves, it translates to themselves. So they think wisdom for me. Right? But it stops with you and it never enters anywhere else. If you don't think. Right. As he thinking in the heart, so is he. If I'm not thinking about nobody else, there's no wisdom for nobody else. Right. If I'm not thinking about others, then when the message comes forth, it'll never filter for others. It'll all stop. Be some supernatural constipation. But if I take, he says, to switch glasses. So. He said, the problem is you can't see no further because looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12 and 2, right? You just write it down. Looking unto Jesus, all the finish of my faith, looking at Jesus, right? But no, it's looking like Jesus. Because if you really see Jesus, you'll see like Jesus. All right? So he said, switch glasses. So you take yours off because yours got a certain way they look, certain things they magnify. They can't really see everything. They can't see long term. They're real nearsighted. Right? They can't see deeper into the situation. Ain't no revelation because you just, your glasses are only concerning what you know. He said, switch glasses. So I take mine off and I put his on. Whoa. Can y'all imagine that for a minute? Come on, take your glasses off. If you have glasses on right now, do it. Take those glasses off, right? If you ain't got none, just go with your imaginary glasses. Take my glasses off. And I put his on. Come on. Now imagine switching glasses. You know, look, y'all have different. They have different. You put them on, and like, whoa. You might be like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? You might be like, hold on. You know, imagine switching glasses, right? Imagine, you know, you don't wear glasses. You put somebody's glasses on. It'll kind of right, because it changes everything. But if you put the right glasses on, the right prescription, If you put the right thing on, then you see much better.
That's right. Yes, that's true.
You see much clearer. It's almost like Jesus laying, I never knew why he did it, but I understand. He laying hands on that man. He said, yeah, I see, but I see him in walking the tree. So I ain't in the dark no more, but I don't see clear. All right, let me do it again.
Right.
And you get clear on things. Many times, because we've let Jesus touch us, but not keep his hand on us, we see things, but we see them walking as trees. So there are issues that come up with people around us, even in our personal lives, first of all, and then people around us and different things, and people we encounter in church, and church service, but then church service wherever you go, because you know the church is having service wherever you go.
Right.
You always on service, like service. You know what service is, right? So the root word of service is what? Serve. You know, serve is another word for service, minister. Work it up, ministry. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go is service.
Amen.
Service started at 8 for something. Like I go to all, service started at 8. What time you go to work, Doug? What time you go to work? 8:30. Service started at 8:30. Mm-hmm. Really got prayer before 8. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so the service start when you meet them, when you walk into talking to them at service. Let's go. You may nobody might not, the band might not strike off, but you strike off in your head. Mm-hmm. But it's service. It's time to do it. You get it? So when you go have service, wherever you are, what kind of service are you having? Where's Jesus? Come on, say it. Come on, ask yourself, where's Jesus? That's a simple thing. It's a simple way to solidify all your works and everything you're doing. Find out where he at. Where's Jesus? Yeah, this thing goes over. And Ephesians 4, man, is powerful because it keeps on talking about to the measure of the stature. Grow up into him in all things, not just a few of them, not just some of them, not just the ones you think are spiritual, but all things. That means you can't leave nothing out. You can't pick which ones you want to keep, which ones you don't want to keep.
Amen.
You got to grow up in him in all things. You don't grow up in him in all things, you ain't grow up in him in nothing. You're going to miss something. So now, I'm back to verse 11 now. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. All right, we understand now, right? Verse 12, you remember we said verse 12 was in order. You remember that, huh? If verse 11 is in order, then verse 12 is in order. Y'all remember that? All right, so now the first thing that is doing, that the government is doing, is the perfecting of the saints. Now, I cannot jump to 2 and 3 until I get the 1 down. Wow, but that's a big one, to perfect the saints. That seemed like a talk. The Lord told me something other day. Y'all ready? And I was just having a conversation. And not to go deep down the conversation, many times hearing is our love made perfect. We see the word perfect a lot, right? Perfecting of the saints, and we see the word perfect a lot. And first of all, remember I told y'all not to do with the word perfect. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember? Huh? Yeah, you can't be open hand slap. I'm serious. Don't you be up there talking about can't nobody be perfect? Ain't nobody perfect. Shut up. You tell somebody, I would correct somebody next time you hear them. Well, ain't nobody perfect. Well, that's your fault then. If you ain't perfect, it's your fault. You trying to use flawless? Ain't no talking about that. Perfect has to do with perfection. I mean, perfection. Purpose. And maturity. And being whole. And being complete. So can we be that? So I'm gonna study these words. So I catch the enemy in his foolishness. He took a lot of words and messed them up. Because of public opinion, you saying stuff that you heard other people say that ain't in the Bible. In the Bible say you teach a man to fish. You know, you give a man a fish, he eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, he eat for a life. That ain't in the Bible. You just say stupid stuff like that because you hear people saying it. Right? You ever quoted something that you swore was a Bible scripture, but it wasn't? I'll go to some of y'all favorites right now. If I can really go down, I'll quote some of y'all favorites and you like, that word ain't in there? No, that word ain't in there. Then he take words and mess them up. So we think can't nobody be perfect. So now here we are. Oh, living a life that we can never be what the Bible says. That's stupid. There's another scripture in the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Because that's just how we are. So I got it right. Mankind is inherently flawed. Yeah. You're inherently flawed. That's not what God was talking about. He knew that already. Prove it, Jesus. What? Yo, Jesus has no. Listen, Jesus had to go to sleep. He was hungry. He got tired. In his physical form, right? He was sweating. That's this. We're not talking about that right now. Perfect. So we got to go from. So the Holy Spirit told me something the other day. He said, "Perfection is the beginning." Perfection is a starting point. Perfection is not where we're trying to end up. Perfection is where we jump off. But how long? Come on, y'all. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Come on, write it down. Write it down. Go ahead, keep writing it down. When you finish, write it down, look at me for a second. Write down. Like, are y'all with me? Now, haven't we been striving for perfection? Come on. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't. Like, I'm not saying we shouldn't strive for holiness, but I think God is saying, I wish y'all hurry up. How much more you need? Jesus, the blood, grace, mercy, joy, peace, long suffering, gifts, fruits, preachers, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. Huh? People next to you, Holy Ghost, who should teach you all things, right? You know, all that written down in that Bible. How long? How long will it take you to grow up? Because he's saying as soon as you grow up, you can jump. Galatians talking about the heir, different nothing but a son. As long as he's a child, there should be no more children. Charles 2 and 4. Remember that scripture? Right in Ephesians 4. Remember that just now? As long as he's a child, different nothing but a servant, though he be. A lot of officers and tutors and governors until the appointed time. The appointed time for what? The appointed time to walk into his heirship. The appointed time to walk into my, I'm the king. You get it? The appointed time to walk into the authority. Right? How long? What are we waiting on? It's a trick, though, that we're working towards perfection. And we don't realize that that's our diving board. We don't realize that. So we've been living our whole lives striving for perfection. And I'm trying to get perfection. Because if I can only get perfection, I'll be at my destiny. Ain't no destiny. Ain't no stopping place. Destiny is ongoing and come down to God. You understand that? Ain't no stopping point. The Bible starts talking about that. You don't never make it. You ain't never there. Always increasing. Ever learning. What do you think that means? Even perfection is a watch this now. I'm gonna teach something. Even perfection is a process. So if perfection is a process, it is not a place to get to. So, okay. Am I made perfect already? Yes. He who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He who is in, what you in? Where's Jesus? You see, where you at? You get it? So now, I could be perfect right now. Perfect don't come next week when y'all graduate this year, don't y'all? Y'all graduate this year? Perfect don't come when you get graduated. Perfect now. If you're waiting on perfection when you graduate, then that's just your problem. You're wasting time. Perfect now. Depending on where's Jesus. Philippians 2:5, let this mind. If I got that mind, I got a perfect mind. If I live and I say, where's Jesus? Right now, everything I'm doing, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? When I got to make a decision, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Right? When something come up that ain't too kosher in my family, right? Or something come up that ain't too, it kind of stunned me. Oh, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? You ever saw Jesus stunned? Why we get so stunned so much? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And see, when I, it's not that he's not running from us. He's not hiding. He's evidently there, but he's just look under me. Take the glass off, put mine on. Right? Stop thinking like you think and think like me. Right? Right? And you want we are afraid to lose our thoughts. We are afraid to lose ourselves. Now, nobody wants to say it because we get spiritual and say whatever we need to be said in church service, don't we? Yeah, you right. I give it all up. You at home, you tripping. Right? You don't want to lose your identity. I don't want to lose my... Because you think that's how it works. Lord showed me something the other day, and I was talking about a particular subject. And whatever you desire, that's what you'll get. Like, it'll come to you. But I understand something about desire. And I'm talking about it, I said, well, it's a particular subject. And I said, you know what? It's not that desiring this is wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's right or wrong. It's just... sometimes your desire is too low. And you could be desiring more. But whatever you desire, that's what you're going to get. What if life was ready to yield to you everything, every good thing, but because I read a poem, then it says, life is like an employer. Right? And it only pays me the ways that I chose. But then let me live my whole life and then find out that it would have paid me whatever.
Jesus.
Whatever wage I set, that's what I would have got. But I just set it so low, so that's what I got. So here we go, 30, 64, and 104. 34, 64, and 104. 34, 64, and 104. 34, 64, and 104. I was asking God, why you ain't do 30, 60, and 90? Because that's multiplied by threes. He said, no, I did 100 because I added 10. That's for grace and favor. I upped you 10. So we can be out here choosing 30. 30 better than zero. Right? So here we go. This is what we do. Whether you're going to admit it or not right now, when you start talking about get rid of your mind and get the mind of Christ, you're nervous because how am I think? Tell the truth. Let your life go and take on Jesus. Like, uh-oh. You start thinking about all the stuff in your life. Like it's yours anyway. Y'all know we do it, don't we? Come on, amen, 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 across the room. Amen, across the room. And we get, I gotta let it go. It's like the first time jumping off a diving board. I gotta jump. Can you imagine Jesus about to die and it's time to really give it all up? I gotta let the last breath go. How am I breathe? So that's where we be at. Sometimes we be having a whole lot of breath left because we ain't even at the diving board. We still on the side with the towel on. We ain't put the swim trunks on or nothing. We like, I ain't getting that water today. I'm going to get in there next year. Ain't that the truth? 34, 64, 100-fold, but you can shoot for 30. But see, here's the thing about 100-fold. Can I teach you something about 100-fold? Here's the thing about giving 100. Inside 100 is 30 and 60 and everything in between. Percentage, you know, and people say, I give 110%. Well, shut up, because you can't do that. 100% is everything. Like, I know you're trying to be, I know you're trying to make me feel like you're extra on my team. I just need you to be on the team. That's all. I need you to be on the team and play your game, right? I don't need no next. I'm going to do 150. I don't need 150 because you don't have it. Stop lying to me. You about to have me writing something on the wall for you. I got 100. You don't have 150. You got 100. Give me all that, though. I think about 100 is 30 and 60 is in there. Think about good, acceptable, and perfect. Think about good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is that in the perfect will of God, good and acceptable. We good and accepted on the inside of that. So if I get 100, then I don't have to worry about 30 or 60 because it's all included. So I don't really lose anything I gain. But we can't see that. We can't see that because we're still holding on to us. He say, Richard Ruler come. He say, how can I see you turn? Like he said, you know, he started testing me, say, they do this, do this. I did all that from, I observed all those from my youth. T said, all right, cool. One thing you lack, not 20, not a bunch, just one thing. One thing I lack is go sell what you have, give it to the poor. He didn't say give all your money away. So read the scripture. He said, sell what you got and give that to the poor. And come follow me. He go away sad because he don't want to let go. That's who I am. That's my identity. I got this and this and that. What you identify yourself by? Nah, in life. I got this now. I ain't married just so shut up. Please. Jesus is your identity. Shut up. So Jesus started saying, how hard, he knew the answer, but just how hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? He ain't talking about going to heaven. He talking about God's way of doing things. Now, we in the church, renew your mind, right? Change your heart, right? This is the Pharisee. I'm about to give you a Pharisee. Nah, I don't get no money now because a rich man can't go to heaven. Heaven wasn't in the scripture. We still got that stuff in our head, don't we? Come on, y'all. We got to get that old. You got to go out there and dig all of it out of there. Ain't got nothing to do with that. How hard is it for somebody that got it another way to do it my way? He said, well, Lord, and this is the best example, best analogy I've ever heard in my life. It's harder than a camel entering into the eye of a needle. But we don't have many camels around here, so just imagine a horse. Right? He's using camel because that's where it was at. Imagine a horse entering into the eye of a needle. Have you ever seen a horse enter into the eye? Because you can't even imagine, huh? Oh, them boys got nervous. Whoa, Jesus. They knew they had some money. The disciples knew they had some stuff. So they said, well, who gonna get in then? Who gonna be able to enter to the, they still think about heaven too, right? Who gonna self-preservation? Who gonna make it then? Then Jesus said, he started breaking down to, he said, ain't nobody gave up houses and mothers and fathers and lands and gave up everything for the sake of what I'm doing that won't receive 100-fold. Now, you don't know what 100-fold is. That's not 100. It's folded. It's not a whole 100 like we think, folded up, put in your pocket. No. It's like fold. It's like manifold. It's like multiplication. Like receive multiplications of what you gave up. And he said, now when this, like, because Jesus was trying to bring them back here and get them out of heaven. They still were thinking about heaven. Don't feel bad. Disciples right there walking with Jesus was thinking about heaven. In this time. So, bro, what you're telling me is if I give 100, not only do I get 30 and 60, but then I get some more 30s and some more 60s because they get folded over. If I shoot for that, but that's that's difficult. Have you ever seen the game shows? What's the game show? It's not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's the other one. They got the boxes. They got the briefcases. Deal or no deal. Deal or no deal, right? It's a little difficult when that thing opened up and say 30,000. It's a little difficult when that thing say 30,000 you don't have. It's a little difficult. I know that's a game show. I know they take a chance. But it's a little difficult to put that all in with the possibility of getting more. I don't know. We might need to go home with this one. All right, come on, y'all. Come on. I gave an example. You ready? What's tomorrow's date? The 29th, right? So tomorrow on the 29th, this is what we'll do. Tomorrow on the 29th, tomorrow on the 29th, you can meet me at the office. We're going to sign some papers. I got $30 million for you.
Hallelujah.
What time? Let's go, right? Meet me at the office. We can sign it. You better meet me for midnight. At the midnight, it's up. All right? It'll be long, huh? Everybody out there. But here we go, though. If you just wait a little while and decide that you want to give a little bit more of your life, then on the same date, March 29th of 2017, I have 60 for you. But see, once you pass up 30, you know I'm saying, you got to wait till you get to the 60. All right, now this principle is not about waiting; it's about principle. All right, listen, that's what I'm saying. All right, so I don't know, 60 is. We got some work with $60 million, right? But if you just one more year on the 29th of 2018, you get 100. Come on, what you gonna do? Well, seeing that I ain't never seen $30 million before, I'm gonna go sign for the 30 tomorrow. We can hear people say stuff like this. Well, I'm gonna just get it now. I don't even know if that's guaranteed. Well, I'm gonna just get this 30 and we can we'll work up on 100 million. No, you're not, because you ain't work up on the 30. Look, you only get 30-fold because of grace and mercy anyway. You didn't do nothing to earn this. I came and found you like that. And I told you I got something for you.
That's good.
So you didn't do nothing to build that. You don't even understand that I'm testing you right now. You don't even understand. I'm really trying to see where you at. How far you willing to go with me? Will you wait 2 years? But you can go ahead and get your 30, and some of y'all in there and I said, 30 still look good, boy. That 30 changed a lot of things. But see, between 30, now we're getting a million, between 30 and 100, that's a whole nother conversation now. It's a whole nother life category. We're talking about a tenth of a billion. That's another thing now. We can do a whole lot more funding. Amen. Ain't that the truth?
Yes.
So we're so afraid to let tomorrow pass. And I'm not saying we got to give up anything. That's not the principle, what I'm saying. We're so afraid to cash tomorrow in for the 100. We're so afraid to go for the 100. We're just afraid to go for the 100. We won't grow up into him in all things. We grow up in some things, but not all. And we're afraid to do it, so we don't benefit as much as we should. What you holding on to? You keep holding on every month. You keep holding on to the same little thing. That thing ain't growing for you. That little attitude, little feeling you got, whatever, that ain't growing. Let it go. Let whatever that way is that don't look like Jesus go. Go all the way in. Let's just say go all in.
All in.
Right? Go all in. Come on. You know, see that they're playing poker and all that. Like, push it all in. We're going to take that chance. Now, I believe my chances are good. Now, we're talking about Jesus right now. We're talking about God who already loves us in spite of us, right? He already took a chance on us. He already went all in with Jesus. Y'all realize that, huh? God went all in for you before. And see, jury's still out on you. There's a possibility you won't do what he paid the price for you to do. He puts it all in. He said, you know what? Because my eyes are good because of love, so I push it all in. And all he's asking for you is do the same. That's church. That's church. Where is Jesus? Where he at in what I'm doing? Get the judging. Oh, hold on. Where's Jesus? I get to feeling some kind of, hold on, where's Jesus? You can do like that when stuff to come up in your health. So come up in your money. I got to pay. Where's Jesus? There's fish, money in the fish mouth. Go to the fish market. Out of faith. You know what I'm saying? Like go walk down the fish aisle. Feel like you got to go walk down there out of faith. You get it? That mind, don't your mind need to change? Tell us, there's a lot of stuff we need to change in our mind, don't we? Mm-hmm. The mind need to change. We change that mind.